Our Bibles are open to John chapter 16. I hope to cover verses 16 through 22. It's his last few hours with the 11 remaining disciples. Judas has left the table. He's gone out to make his final arrangements to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just a few hours now, and Jesus himself will be arrested. Shortly after he's arrested, he will be crucified. And this is his last meal with the 11. And he is trying to prepare the 11 for what they're going to be facing, for that for which he came to earth. You see, he came to earth to be the sinless, perfect, willing blood sacrifice that God required to reconcile sinful man to himself. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But it couldn't be just any blood. No, the blood of bulls and goats, animals, would not suffice. The blood of lambs and sheep, goats, would not suffice. It had to be the blood of the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus himself, God in the flesh, God's sinless, willing, perfect blood sacrifice. You see, that's why he came to earth. He came to earth to be willing, to be that willing, sinless blood sacrifice for all who would believe. Let me ask you this. Have you believed? And if you have believed, what have you believed? Have you believed some denominational position? Have you embraced some religious position? Or have you embraced the Word of God? There's so much out there in the world of religious activity and the world of religious teaching that is so far removed from the Word of God. It's estranged from the Word of God. And so that's why I try to caution our radio congregation as well as our local congregation. Stay with the Word. Stay with the Word. So as we go to the Word at this time, we're going to start with John chapter 16, continuing our series of messages in the book of John. We're going to begin with John chapter 16 and verse 16. Jesus is speaking to the 11 at the table, and he says, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father. A little while, and you will not see me." You know what he's saying to them? He didn't say it in these exact words, but really what he's saying to them is, "I will be crucified. I will be crucified. And then I'll go back to the Father to report. The mission is finished." The perfect, willing, sinless blood sacrifice has been offered on the cross. The cross was the altar. So he will be crucified. He'll go back to the Father. He will report to the Father that I have done all that you asked me to do. I've done all that you sent me to do. I demonstrated your power. I demonstrated your authority. I spoke your word. Some received it. Some have not received it. But he will go back to the Father once again. I've accomplished that which you sent me to planet Earth. That's why he came to planet Earth. You see, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But just any blood won't do it. No. It had to be sinless, willing. The sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, had to be sinless and willing. And Christ Jesus was that. He continues now, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." You know, when we get to this point in the Scriptures, I have to slow down, wind my watch, and pause. I have to consider that at his resurrection, he also preached to the spirits in prison. Who are the spirits in prison? Those who have died and gone on before. So, from my point of view, and I'm not all that adamant on this point, but in that time, when his body was laying in the tomb. So far as I'm concerned, from everything I can pull together collectively in the scriptures, at that time, he went to the spirits in prison. He went to those who had previously died. He went to those who were imprisoned in death. And he let them know the prophets were right. The word was right. I am the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. And I left my throne in heaven. And I came to earth. I took upon myself the body of humanity. I faced every temptation that you in mankind ever faced. I faced everything that mankind would face. And I conquered. I never gave in to temptation. I submitted and surrendered fully, completely, totally, thoroughly to the Lordship of the Father in my life. And yes, I went to the cross. I went to the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of all who would believe and receive me as Lord and Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, the word says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." In 1 Peter 2:19, "By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison." So far as I'm concerned, that verse addresses the fact that he went and announced to all who had died and gone to hell. The prophets were right. They were correct. You should have believed the word of God. You should have received the word of God. Yes, there is a Messiah, and I am that Messiah. And yes, I have fulfilled the plan of God, the Father. I have fulfilled the will of God, the Father. I have gone to the cross, and I've taken upon myself all the sins of every type, of every type, of everyone who would believe, because sin must die. Sin must be put to death. And the sins of all who believe were put to death in me. And so then, he went to the Father, and reported to the Father, as far as I determined internally from Scripture, he went to the Father and said, "It is finished. I've done everything you sent me to earth to do. I've paid the price." And then once that he returned to the Father, he was saying to them, "I will then return to earth to be resurrected. After I have appeared to the Father, after I've preached to those in prison, I will return to earth and I will be resurrected." And really what he's saying to the disciples is, "You will see me in my resurrection body." Understand this. Yes, I will go to the cross. Yes, I will be put to death. Yes, on that cross, I will become everything God hates. And on that cross, I will cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because in those moments on the cross, when he took upon himself the sins of every type that you can name, he became for the sinner, the sacrifice for their sins, and then put those sins to death in himself. We must understand sin has to die. Please understand what I'm saying to you. Sin has to die. God has assigned sin to the position of death. Sin has to die. Now, you can either put your sins to death in Christ Jesus by believing in Christ Jesus and receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you can put your faith and your confidence in some system of religion that teaches you that if you become a part of us, then you'll be made right with God. No, the only way you're going to be made right with God is to be born again. Become a new creation in Christ Jesus. John 16:17. "Then some of his disciples said among themselves, 'What is this that he says to us, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. They were hearing but not comprehending. How much of that is in the church today? How much of that is in religious communities today? How much of that is in religious organizations today? How prevalent is that today? There are those who are sitting, hearing, in every denomination that you can name, in every denomination you can name, there are those there, service after service after service, who are listening, but not really hearing. They're listening, but not comprehending what is being taught. And if the word is being taught, then they're hearing a preacher say, you must be born again. Without being born again, you do not stand a chance of going to heaven when you die. What does it mean to be born again? It cannot be done by rejoining some religious organization. It cannot happen as a result of belonging to some denomination. No. It's a one-on-one thing. Hear me carefully. It's a one-on-one thing. You, as a sinner, have to go before the Lord God Almighty in the name of Jesus, confessing that you're a sinner and asking for His forgiveness, willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the only name given under heaven whereby men may be saved, the only sacrifice ever given for sin that God would accept was Christ Jesus, Son of God, God in the flesh, on the cross. And yet, it is so misrepresented even in this day. Even among His disciples of today, many do not really truly understand the crucifixion, the resurrection, that on that cross, Jesus Christ became everything that God hated. Everything that God hated. How many today claim the name of Christ? How many today assume they are born again but have never understood that spiritual reality, that on that cross, Jesus Christ took upon Himself every sin that God hated, which is why He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in those moments, hours, on that cross, He took upon Himself the sin of every individual who has ever been born that has not been born again. And He took the sins of those of us who have been born again. He took collectively, corporately, the sins of all who would believe and all who would receive. It's one thing to say, I believe. Have you been changed? Are you a new person? Have you become a new creation in Christ Jesus? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you indwelt by the creative power of the universe? Are you indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe? Even among some of His disciples today, there's no clear understanding, really thoroughly, of what it means to be born again, what happens when one is born again, and what God expects of those who are born again. At times, those sitting in church are just somewhat hard of hearing. Those sitting in religious meetings are just somewhat hard of hearing. Did we not often sometimes, even among us, those of us who have been born again, do we not often lack sensitivity? Do we not lack sensitivity to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit? God doesn't want you to go there. God doesn't want you to do that. God doesn't want you to be a part of that. God doesn't want you to say that. God does not want you to be that. You see, we are in the same position as some of those early disciples were. We need not judge those early disciples too harshly, because the church today, I'm convinced, after the years I have spent in ministry, I'm convinced that we have people every week of the world sitting in church who have ears, but they do not have ears to hear. They're listening without hearing. They're listening without understanding. And there's multitudes who think, well, if I go to church, and I go regularly to church, and especially on Sundays and on holidays, if I go then, well, I'll make me right with God. No, you must be born again. You've got to become a new creation. You've got to receive the mind of Christ. You've got to receive the Spirit of God. You've got to be indwelt, embrace the Spirit of God. John 16:18. They said, the disciples, they said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying. How prevalent. I'll go here again because I'm telling you, I've been at this a while. How prevalent is that in the church today? Listening without hearing. Listening without understanding. Listening without really, truly comprehending and embracing the truth of the Word of God as to what it really says. How prevalent is that in the church today, and more so in religious organizations that pose themselves as part of the church? Folks, do you understand that we live in a world full of religious organizations that like to present themselves as being a part of the church that are nowhere near being part of the church? Do you understand that? And you see, I may be talking to people today. I may be talking to people today. You are a part of a religious organization, but you're not a part of the body of Christ. Yes, you have joined a religious organization. Yes, your membership is counted with that religious organization, but your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're one heartbeat from hell. One heartbeat from hell with all of your religiosity. What do you think the Pharisees were? What do you think the Sadducees were? We find a handful of Pharisees that we know by name, Nicodemus being one of them, Joseph of Arimathea being another. We have the names of a couple, three, four of those in among the Pharisees who received the truth, believed the truth, received Christ as their Savior, but the multitude, the leadership itself of the Pharisees was the ones who had him crucified. They didn't believe. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? That the religious leadership we have at this time, as I am speaking to you, we have individuals who are in positions of leadership among the Pharisees and the Sadducees are at this time, as I am speaking to you, in hell itself. They're being tormented in hell, and they have been assigned to hell, and they will spend all their eternity in hell. There is no purgatory. There is no purgatory. There is no second chance after death. You won't find it in the Scriptures. It is not in the Scriptures. The rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. Remember that? The rich man who died and instantly lifted up his eyes in hell. He had family members back here on earth. He wanted to have a witness sent to his family members that they would not die and come to the place where he was. He didn't want anyone to join him where he was. Folks, it's been so watered down. It has been so misrepresented. And that's wrong. How many pulpits are guilty of watering it down? How many pulpits are guilty of misrepresenting it? How many systems of religion have watered it down? How many systems of religion have misrepresented the truth, misrepresented the gospel? Let me say this to you very clearly. Being baptized does not put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Joining a specific religious organization and being baptized in that specific religious organization does not get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No. The only way your name is going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life is if you go before the throne of God. Go before Jesus saying, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Then, my friend, then you're on solid ground to approach the throne of God in prayer. No religious organization can get you there. No denomination can get you there. No religious denomination, no religious organization can get you there. It's one on one. One on one. You and God through Christ Jesus. You and God through Christ Jesus. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Word of God says, Paul said, I marvel that you also are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, there is another gospel. What is that other gospel? It says if you join us, if you do things the way we do things, if you're baptized into our organization, and if you contribute to our organization, that'll make you right with God. That's a lie out of hell. Let me say that slowly, surely, positively. That is a lie out of hell. You cannot join a religious organization that will make you right with God. You cannot belong to a religious organization that will make you right with God. The only thing that's going to make you right with God is you must be born again. You've got to become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Acknowledging you're a sinner. Asking Christ Jesus in childlike faith, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. Receiving Christ as Lord of the life. You see, there were those in that day, as there is today, false teachers. They had false teachers in that day. We have false teachers in this day, folks. We got whole systems of false religious activity and false religious teachers. Notice now, I'm not presenting any denomination. I'm not asking you to join any denomination. It is not my business what denomination you join. Here's the key. You've got to know you're born again. You've got to join the family of God. You've got to join the kingdom of God. You've got to go before the throne of God saying, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm confessing I'm a sinner. And in childlike faith, I'm asking Jesus Christ to come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. Then let the Spirit of God guide you to that church or that organization, that religious organization where you can be fed the Word of God, grounded in the Word of God, discipled in the Word of God. That, my friend, is what it's all about. There are those in that day and there are those in this day who are false teachers. They teach a false doctrine and a false system of religion. I know this sounds harsh. I know that I'm sounding harsh, but I'm sounding reality. I'm simply saying to you what the Word of God says. And Jesus himself pointed out to them false teachers in a false system of religion, presenting a false way which sinful man could be reconciled to holy God. And there were false teachers in that day. There's false teachers in this day. And these false teachers, are they not under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist? Because the spirit of Antichrist stands against the church, the people of God, the Word of God. And so I have to ask myself when I look at the history of this thing, were they not under the influence themselves at that day, at that time, under the spirit of Antichrist? Preaching another gospel, and there's not another gospel. There's not another gospel. There's not a Catholic gospel, and a Baptist gospel, and a Presbyterian gospel, and a Methodist gospel, and a whatever. No. There's the gospel. The gospel. You must be born again. You must become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we have whole systems of religious activity. Notice I said systems of religious activity that are under the influence and the spirit of Antichrist, posing, presenting themselves as those that can make them right with God. Do it our way, you'll be you'll be made right with God. No, it doesn't work that way, folks. You must be born again. John 16:19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me." He knows the heart and the minds of all. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows our thought life. He knows your next thought before you have the next thought. Folks, understand the omniscience of God. I'm going to say that again. He knows your next thought before you have the next thought. He knew what they were dealing with. He knew what was going on in their spirit. He understood the lack of understanding, the failure to comprehend what he was saying. It was so deep. It was so big. He understood their failure to comprehend what he was saying, and he understands today. Those in systems of false religion, those who are part of a system that misrepresents how sinful man can be reconciled to holy God, he understands that. He knows what's going on. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what I deal with. He knows what we deal with day after day after day. And I'm talking to some people today. You have put all of your hope and trust and confidence in a system of religion that is not presenting the gospel to you the way the gospel should be presented, because the gospel should start with, you must be born again. That's where Jesus started with Nicodemus. You won't find anybody much more religious than Nicodemus. What did Jesus say? You must be born again. Nicodemus, you are a leader among the Pharisees. You're a religious among the Pharisees. And yet, Nicodemus, you yourself are not born again. And you must be born again. Religious activity won't get it done, Nicodemus. Being involved in religious activity will not get it done. You must be born again. They had doubts. They had questions. They had concerns. And he knew that. He understood that. He already knows your doubts, your concerns. He knows the questions that you deal with. And if you will be honest with yourself, with God, there are times you need to sit down and say to him, "Father, I'm dealing with this. I'm dealing with that." Be honest with him. Be open. Be transparent. He knows anyway. See, you can take anything before him. He already knows. He already knows what you're dealing with. He already knows the questions. Why not discuss it with him? Why not just get on your face, get on your knees, sit in a chair, whatever, wherever you're comfortable, and discuss with him everything you're dealing with in the spirit realm. All the questions, all the lack of understanding. Take it to him. Get in the Word. Get under the Word. Get in a place where you can be under the Word and get the Word. And through the Word, more clearly understand who he is, all he is, all he accomplished in his sinless life, all he accomplished as God's sinless, willing blood sacrifice on the cross. Understand it. Embrace it. Believe it. Receive it. Listen, let me encourage you. I keep telling you, there are about 5 to 6 different steps and stages that each of us have to come through in our growth in Christ. These are steps in the spirit life, the life of the believer. We have to come through level after level after level of spiritual growth. We come into our, how long have I taught this? We come into the kingdom of God. We come into the family of God as a spiritual infant. Did you hear me? As a spiritual infant. And we got people. We've got whole churches that have put people in positions of spiritual responsibility. And those people they have put into positions of spiritual responsibility are still spiritual infants. Folks, we got it. Do you understand that every preacher in every pulpit has to come through the same stages of spiritual growth that the people in the pew have to come through? Do you understand that? Do you understand that each and every one of us came into the family of God with sin in our lives? Yes, we were born again. Yes, the moment we came to Christ and were born again, our sins were forgiven. Our past was forgotten. But now we've got to deal with the resident sin in our lives because we're still being tempted. We came into the kingdom of God with some spiritual strongholds in our life. For one, name your own. For some, it's lying. Well, name your own. We came into the kingdom of God with spiritual strongholds in our life. Those spiritual strongholds have to be identified, confessed, and folks, sometimes it's a prolonged battle. Hear me. Sometimes it is a prolonged battle getting victory over that sinful stronghold in the life. And then one day you realize, glory be to God, hallelujah, I have finally got victory over that thing, and you turn around and there's another one. Folks, we come into the kingdom of God. We come into the family of God. We are born again. We're received at that time as a child of God, but now we've got to grow in spiritual maturity. We've got to come from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. And part of that coming from spiritual infancy into spiritual maturity is coming through and recognizing the residual sin and the residual strongholds of sin that are still in our lives that must be faced and confessed until we get victory. I brought a truckload with me into the ministry. Most preachers have, if they be honest with you and honest with each other. We come into the kingdom of God. Yes, we're adopted into the family of God, but we come into the kingdom of God bringing a lot of sinful baggage with us, and that sinful baggage has to be identified, and we have to get victory over it. Verse 20, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned unto joy. The world, unsaved mankind, does not and will not share your grief when I'm crucified. That's what he's saying to them. The unsaved world, unsaved mankind, the world, that's what the world represents, is unsaved mankind. Those who've never been born again, that's the world. The world, unsaved mankind, does not and will not share your grief at my crucifixion. It will not. In fact, the world, if you will, the unsaved mankind, will rejoice in that which will cause you grief. He knew at that time there were those in the religious community that hated him with a hatred beyond description. The leadership among the Pharisees, some of them hated him. They're the ones who got him crucified. They're the ones who took him before Pilate. They're the ones who were demanding that he be crucified, exchanging him for Barabbas. Folks, this is in the religious community today. Notice I did not say the church. The church is a blood-washed people of God. But we have a whole religious community out there that has leadership, religious leadership in that religious community that is misrepresenting the gospel, misrepresenting how sinful man can be reconciled to holy God, misrepresenting what it means to be born again. I watch baseball. I watch football. And I watch players from time to time make the sign of the cross on their body. And I sit there saying to myself, do they know what that represents? Is that just a religious expression, a religious habit of some kind? I did good. I got away with it, so I'm going to make a symbol of the cross across my body without understanding what the cross really stands for, what it really means. I'm saying to you, hell is going to be full of people who themselves practice crossing themselves with the crucifixion, with a symbol of the cross, and will die and go to hell because they never understood what the cross is all about. I'm saying to you that there are systems of religion out there that will never teach the depth the intensity, the reality of what the cross represented. Let me say it to you once again. The cross was the altar. The cross was the altar on which the sacrifice of God for sinful man was put to death. And that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. And belonging to a religious organization will never, ever, ever satisfy the demands of God the Father for holiness, for identification with Him. No, to be identified with God the Father, you've got to be born again. You've got to become a new creation in Christ Jesus simply through believing and receiving Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. All the religious activity in the world will not keep you out of hell at death if you're not born again. You see, He says to them, your sorrow will be replaced with joy at my resurrection. Go back to verse 20 again. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Your sorrow will be replaced with joy at my resurrection. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. A woman in labor has sorrow and grief at the pain when she's going through the process of labor. But once the infant is born, the grief, the sorrow disappears, becomes joy. The grief and the sorrow is replaced with joy. John 16:22, our last verse. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. He says, at this moment in time, you're experiencing sorrow and grief. You don't understand the fullness of the plan. You don't understand why I've got to go to the cross. You don't understand fully, completely yet, that I am God's only acceptable sacrifice. I, the Son of God, God in the flesh, am the only acceptable sacrifice for the sins of mankind that God would accept. And I'm going to go to that cross. And on that cross, I'm going to become sin. I'm going to take upon myself the sin of every individual who will ever believe and receive me as Lord and Savior. And when I die, that sin is going to be put to death in me. And then, after I put sin to death, I'm going to be resurrected. And at the moment, you're experiencing sorrow and grief, but you will soon experience inexpressible joy. Very soon, you will experience inexpressible joy when you see me in my resurrected body. And may I say this to you in closing? You want to talk about inexpressible joy? Last heartbeat, into glory, standing in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all the saints that have gone on before. Standing in the presence of all the Old Testament saints. Standing in the presence of all your loved ones who have gone on before, whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were born again, and with their last heartbeat were received into glory. When you get to glory, your joy will be inexpressible. And you wouldn't come back here. Once you get to glory, you wouldn't come back here. Yes, right now, you're experiencing, he says to them, inexpressible grief and sorrow. But the day is coming that you will soon experience inexpressible joy. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for allowing me to teach the Word of God. And Father, I just want to make it so simple, so clear, so understandable. And Father, I want to penetrate the darkness of religious unbelief. I want to penetrate the darkness of religious doctrine. You, Jesus, said you must be born again. And Father, I want folks to understand that joining an expression of religious activity does not create them a new creation. That is not the equivalent of being born again. No, they must recognize themselves as sinners. They must come before you, acknowledging their sinners, recognizing their sinners, and asking you in childlike faith, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And Holy Spirit of God, I'm asking you to take this message and help some of those who've heard this message come to that point. If they have not yet come to that point in their life, oh, they may be so religiously involved. They may be involved in religious activity. Their name may be on a church roll somewhere, but yet their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm going to ask you in this hour to move in their hearts, stir their hearts, that they will come before your throne saying, God, Father God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. Adopt me into your family. I ask in Jesus' name. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll appreciate it, and we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.